times like this, hovering over the hazy border between life and death, the afterlife is no longer a mere academic topic to be researched, analyzed, and debated. Heaven and hell, our existence beyond the grave, become desperately relevant. They're all that matter. I know what you're thinking. Poor guy, he almost died. But here's what I'm thinking. Just wait until it happens to you. Because it will. One way or another, next week or in decades, you're going to creep up to that dividing line between now and forever. When you slip from this world, what will you find? A void of non-existence? A dark realm of regret and recrimination? Or a reality that's more vivid, more exhilarating, more rewarding, more real than anything you've ever known? At that moment, in the midst of that existential transition, nothing will be more important. And if it will matter so much then, isn't it worth investigating now? When I was an atheist, I thought I knew what awaited me after my heart stopped pumping and my brain waves flattened. Nothing. My existence would cease. Activity in the world would continue unabated, but I would be absent. It was difficult and disconcerting to imagine. After my wife announced that she had become a follower of Jesus, I used my journalism and legal training to investigate whether there's any credibility to Christianity or any other religion. I concluded after nearly 2 years that there's persuasive evidence that Jesus indeed is the unique Son of God. I ended up leaving my newspaper career to tell others what I had learned. Of course, the Christian faith gave me a whole different picture of eternity. The Bible talks about a vivid post-mortem realm. Though this is embedded in overall Christian theology, I never really studied whether there was specific evidence or compelling logic to support this heavenly vision. Essentially, I set much of the issue aside for a while. I mean, after all, I was young and healthy. Then came that Thursday evening in the summer of 2011 when Leslie found me unconscious on our bedroom floor. The ambulance took me to a hospital in nearby Parker, Colorado, where the emergency room physician gave me the dire news that I was on the precipice of death. It turned out I had a rare medical condition called hyponatremia, a frighteningly sharp drop in my blood sodium level that caused my brain to swell and threatened to snuff out my existence. Suddenly, it wasn't enough to have a few inchoate suppositions about the world to come. It was insufficient to cling to some antiseptic-sounding doctrines that had never been adequately examined. I needed to know for sure what happens when I close my eyes for the final time in this world. The evidence for eternity. After recovering from my medical trauma, I decided to embark on a quest to get answers about the afterlife to satisfy my heart and soul. I traveled to South Bend, Indiana, and Portland, Oregon, to San Antonio, Denver, Chicago, and beyond, as I sat down with scholars to quiz them about how they know what they know about this all-important matter. I discussed heaven with them, but so much more. Can neuroscience tell us whether we have a soul that can survive our body's demise? Might the intriguing accounts of near-death experiences reveal something about our future? What insights can physics, history, and philosophy provide about our existence beyond this world? And what about Jesus? The one who was dead and gone, but then reportedly was encountered alive a few days later. What light might he shed on the subject? I wanted to know whether spending forever in a blissful paradise makes rational sense. And who gets to go to heaven anyway? Some Christians believe everyone wins a ticket to paradise, even our pet dogs. And how about the awful reality of that other place? Wouldn't it be more humane for God to quickly extinguish people who are headed for hell rather than consigning them to an eternity of suffering? More and more